Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
Thank you for joining us in celebrating Jesus Christ today. Now, as we get ready to hear God's word, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. So speak to us through your word and use me as your vessel, as your spokesperson to communicate it. In Jesus' name we pray and we all say amen. Last week, we began going through the book of James, a letter that James, a leader in the early church, wrote to the scattered Jewish Christians who were experiencing persecution and other trials. So from what Pastor Brian shared, we learned that trials are part of the Christian life. So we need to persevere when we face trials. Now, after encouraging believers to persevere during trials, James draws their attention to another critical matter, doing the word. That is the subject we want to talk about today. It is the focus of our message today. In James chapter 1, from verse 22 to 25, James tells believers he wrote to, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." Oh, that's a promise from God's word that when we do God's word, we will be blessed in what we do. The point James hammers home is that it is not enough to know the scriptures, to know about God, and to quote the Bible. Bible knowledge alone, knowing about God alone, and knowing about what he says alone is as useless as a person who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Now, I need to mention that the ancient mirrors did not have the capacity to reflect images accurately like the mirrors we have today. They were not HD, high-definition mirrors like this one I'm holding. But the point James is communicating is that, like a mirror that shows one how they look, their true self, God's word reveals to us the condition of our hearts, reveals to us our state spiritually. It exposes the things in our hearts, in our lives, we need to deal with, we need to pay attention to. But God's word will not have impact in our lives unless we put it into practice. God's word will only have impact in our lives when we put it into practice. Why? It's because we hardly forget what we do. The things we do become a part of our lives. They become our habits. They become our way of life. In the 1960s, American educator Edgar Cohn came up with what is called a learning pyramid to explain people's ability to remember what they learn. In his view, people remember what they do much more than what they hear, much more than what they see, much more than what they write. And that is true. It's a fact of life. That is why education experts emphasize learning by doing, experiential learning. It is the most effective way of learning. It is the most effective approach to learning. So friends, as James has highlighted it, we need to be doers of the word. We read, we study. We need to be doers of the word we hear when it is taught, when it is preached, like I'm doing right now. You see, we are true disciples of Jesus, not because of our Bible knowledge, not because of how much we know about God's word or how much we know about God. We are true disciples of Jesus Christ when we put into practice what Jesus tells us to do. Because Jesus says, if you love me, then obey. Keep my commandments. Woo! So why do the word? Why should we practice God's word? Why should we act on the word of God we read, we hear, we study? Listen, when we do God's word, do you know what happens? We will be blessed. When we do what God says, we will be blessed. Who doesn't want to be blessed? I want to be blessed. So become a doer of God's word. I'm also speaking to myself, Calvin, become a doer of God's word if you want to be blessed. James clearly tells us in chapter 1, verse 25, whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. The perfect law, James is referring to, is of course the Old Testament. At the time he wrote his letter, there was no New Testament. What was available to the people was the Old Testament scriptures. So according to James, anybody who does God's word will be blessed in what they do. No wonder God, while commissioning Joshua as the new leader after Moses died, told Joshua, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do, not in some things, but in everything you do. So if you want your life to be blessed, my brother, my sister, then you need to live according to what God's word says. If you want your marriage to be blessed, then you need to build it on the biblical principles that teach us how we handle marriage. If you want your family to be blessed, hey, you need to put into practice those things that the Bible teaches us about family life. If you want to be blessed in your work, in your career, in your profession, then you need to apply what God's word says about work. Hey, do you want your finances, your financial life to be blessed? Then you need to put into practice those principles that God's word teaches about financial stewardship. Oh. Secondly, doing God's word is evidence of living faith. Not only are we blessed, will we be blessed when we do God's word, but doing God's word is evidence of living faith, faith that is not dead. Throughout his letter, James emphasizes the relationship between genuine living faith and practical godly living, good deeds. It appears the Jewish believers he wrote to thought since they had been saved by grace, there was no need for works. They could have thought they were free from works since they had been set free from the law. So James tells them, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, If someone claims to have faith but has no deeds, can such faith save them? He asks. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well-fed, brother or sister, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead, is barren. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder and quake. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead, is barren, is infertile. Now I want to clarify something here. When James says faith without deeds is dead, that doesn't mean he's contradicting Paul's teachings that salvation is by grace and not by works. James is not saying we are saved by works. Rather, James addresses the problem of Christians who claim to be followers of Christ, yet they don't show any practical evidence of a sincere commitment to him by doing what he says. To emphasize his point that genuine living faith is demonstrated in deeds, James mentions Abraham and Rahab as people who were considered righteous because they not only believed what they had, they acted on what they had. Abraham, for example, offered his son Isaac on the altar in obedience to what God told him. Rahab, on the other hand, a Gentile and a prostitute who lived in the city of Jericho, hid the Israelite spies and helped them escape from the city by a different route because she had heard of the miracles God performed for the Israelites when they came out of Egypt. My God, that is faith in action. Listen, friends, we are not saved by works. We are saved by grace. That means we don't earn salvation through good works, but we are saved to do good works. Paul tells us that, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus, born again in Christ Jesus, to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Think about this for a moment. The current number of Christians in the world is 2.3 billion. Now, if all those people lived as followers of Jesus Christ, I'm convinced godly influence in our society, in our world, would be much greater than what it is. And let me bring it home here in Uganda. 80% of Uganda's population is Christian. Uganda is predominantly a Christian nation. Now, if everybody in this nation who professes to be a Christian lived as a true follower of Christ, what a difference we would make in our politics, in our social life, in our economic life, in our educational life, in our legal system, in our governance, in our business, in every aspect of life here in Uganda. Jesus said this to his disciples, and he says it to us today. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good deeds, your good works, and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So we need to be doers of the word. It's very important. James calls us to be doers of the word. So how do we do the word? How do we put into practice God's word? According to James, we practically do the word of God by taming the tongue. One of the ways believers in Christ apply God's word in their lives is by taming the tongue. So James says, those who consider themselves religious, spiritual, and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues, deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless, is meaningless. Listen to me. Our words have the power to build people up, and they have the power to destroy people, to bring people down. So we need to discipline our tongues as followers of Jesus Christ and speak as people who know God, who fear God. Secondly, we do the word of God. We do what God says by caring for the vulnerable. From James, we learn that being doers of the word is shown in caring for the vulnerable, those in need. James declares, religion God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. When we care for people who are vulnerable, such as orphans and widows, we practically express God's heart of compassion for the vulnerable. And that pleases God because God deeply cares for the widow and for the orphan. So, what are you, as a follower of Christ, doing about the plight of that vulnerable person in your community around you? What are you doing about their suffering? You see, God expects us as followers of Jesus Christ to be his hands here in the world to touch the untouchable with his love practically. Last week we celebrated what God is doing through Watoto Church to care for vulnerable children, for orphans. Because as Watoto Church, we don't want to teach what we don't practice. We want to put our faith into action. We want to put the word of God into action. That's why we celebrate Christ and care for community. Thirdly, we practice the word of God by practicing the royal law. We do the word by practicing the royal law. James emphasizes the importance of practicing the royal law as the antidote, as the solution to sinful and ungodly practices such as favoritism. So he writes, my brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, sir, here is a good seat for you. But you say to the poor man, you stand there or sit on the floor by my feet. Have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. Friends, the royal law James talks about is the law of love. It is called the royal law because it is the law of the king. And who is the king? Jesus is the king. And the royal law, the law of love, love your neighbor as yourself, prescribes, shows us how we ought to deal with each other. James then singles out favoritism as an example of a practice that violates the royal law. The law of love, the law of our King. Friends, when we practice the royal law, the law of our King Jesus, the law of love, we will desist from practicing favoritism. We will hate evil practices such as favoritism. So, in your home, at your workplace, in your school, how do you treat people? Do you consider some people more important than others? Do you consider some people more special than others? Do you consider some people better than others? Do you think some people deserve your services and your help, but others do not? Listen to me, my brother, my sister. God does not want us to practice favoritism. Because before God, every human being is important. Every human being has dignity, regardless of their social background, their cultural background, their educational background, regardless of their racial background, their skin color, regardless of where they come from. Everyone is important before God. So we need to treat everyone as a person who is important before God and to us. Finally, we do God's word by living holy lives. James states that religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. It is clear from what James teaches that faith that is genuine and that pleases God is reflected in holy living. To live holy lives means we do not allow the world, and what the Bible refers to as the world is anti-God, is evil, wicked systems, values, and practices. So we should not allow a system or values and practices that are anti-God, evil and wicked, to influence our behavior as people of God. Paul in Romans chapter 12, verse 2 declares, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, evil, ungodly, anti-God system, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you'll learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." Oh, God's word is so powerful. It's so life-giving. You see, through the Holy Spirit, James calls us to be doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. So I want to end this message by reading a story in Matthew chapter 7 from verse 24 to 27 that Jesus told. "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of that house built on the sand." Hey, are you a wise person who is committed to doing what God says? Maybe you claim to be a Christian, but deep inside your heart, you know you don't live as a Christian, as a true follower of Jesus Christ. Today, my friend, you can make a commitment to live as a follower, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, and bring God glory. Maybe you have walked away from God because of something that has happened to you. Oh, it's never too late to return to God. As a loving Heavenly Father, God's arms are wide open to welcome you back into a relationship with Him. So today, will you make a decision to come back to God, your Heavenly Father? You might be saying, well, I have my religion. I don't need Jesus. I don't need to believe in Jesus. Listen to me. Jesus is not calling you to follow religion. Jesus is calling you into a relationship with Him, a loving, life-giving relationship with Him. So as you make that decision, let me pray for you. Jesus, you see the hearts of men and women who today have decided to give their lives to you, to come back to you, to return to you, and have made a commitment to live for you. I know, Lord, you have a purpose that is beautiful for their lives. May you unfold that purpose for each one of them. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Thank you for giving your life to Jesus today, or recommitting your life to Him and making a commitment to live for Him. Now, we would love to connect with you. So, click on that link in the comment section or call any of those numbers on the screen. Also, you can write to us, connect@watotochurch.com. Welcome into God's family. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. We hope this sets you up to live a truly blessed life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scriptures and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com.